Welcome to the Inner Stoke Podcast. My name is Shane. This is my podcast. In today's episode, I sat down with my friend Greg, had an epic conversation. He's a surfboard shaper out of Beach Haven, New Jersey, and he's converting a shuttle bus to travel around in with his girlfriend. We had an epic episode. I had a really good time meeting up with him. I hope you guys enjoy today's episode.
All right, man. So my camera is, I see it's crooked already. Yeah, I want to do like this little, like, I have this vision of like this interview style type thing to put on TikTok, but it probably won't work out the way I want it to.
So we're just going to go for it.
Give it a shot.
Yeah, man. Yeah, if you want to introduce yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
My name's Greg Malega. I grew up in Beach Haven, New Jersey, on Long Beach Island. My family's been here for 17 generations, way back.
17?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the 1700s.
Okay.
I love it here. I love to travel a little bit too, but yeah, I've been honing my craft at making surfboards and making a sustainable lifestyle for sure.
So you're like, I consider myself a local, born and raised here. My dad moved to Barnegat when he was like 4 or 5, and then bought his first place in Beach Haven when he was like of age, and then worked in Beach Haven for like ever. So like I always really, and then I lived in Shipbottom my whole life. So I always like really considered myself a local, but like you're like local. You were here before us.
Yeah, not me, but man, my great, whatever you want to go back to.
Yeah. So they were here during like the whole Jaws thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yep. My great grandfather built the house my parents still live in like 2 blocks away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But even before that, like on my mom's side, they were sea captains and stuff that would bring goods and people from Philly LBI. So it's cool to even know that back then they're still doing what we want to do now, live off of the land, be happy with this island.
So they're going up the Delaware River into Philly, getting goods and then bringing it back down.
Yeah.
That's rad. Yeah, the history in LBI is so crazy. Like, look at old pictures and stuff, and like, it's wild. Man, the best depiction, I guess you'd call it, is Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
Remember that show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That got really close for what, AC Life and...
Imagine before, like, the Garden State Parkway.
Yeah.
I used to run those trails behind Southern, and it used to, like, make me think, like, people were probably driving old trucks back here back in the day, like running whiskey and stuff. And like, it's like these were the roads back in the day, early like 1900s, late 1800s. And like LBI, the only way to get here was either boat or by train at that time.
Right.
Which is crazy to think that a train actually used to come across the bay here.
It's insane. Yeah. It's really amazing. And to see what it is now, and to like, there's still remnants of what was, but yeah, it's cool to see.
I mean, I haven't been here in 2 years, I was telling you, and coming in, I was like, whoa, holy sh-, like everywhere, every right, every left I'm looking, there's like a new building. Like that one coming in after Slice of Heaven, it's like this monstrous building now on the right-hand side. I have no idea what it was. Then there's another one near like Buckaloo's or something like that. Like, then there's another one near the Chicken or the Egg. I'm like, people are like doing well around here, it looks like.
Yeah, it's really changing for sure. And
thriving.
Yeah, and you see a lot less businesses, a lot less natural landscape and more homes.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to see it get to the point where like, all right, what do we do here? We all came, but it's just
all
with people.
All homes, and all people. Yeah, I don't see Beach Haven ever getting like that. Brant Beach obviously has turned into that.
Yeah.
And will continue.
But a lot of people are moving out of the city, and the more people I run into around here are like, yeah, we sold our place in New York, and this was our summer home that I'm not going into my office anymore, so I'm staying here. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, maybe we have a year-round community starting to
Yeah, I mean, remember when I was. Yeah, how old are you?
30.
You're 30? Okay, so what year did you graduate?
Good question. Oh, 08?
I was 08. Were you in my class?
Maybe.
Were you? Did we go to
That's a
school
big class.
together? Yeah, it was 2008.
Maybe I was 9.
2009.
'Cause I was in Warren's class. I don't know if he was a year younger.
Yeah, I think that was 09. Okay,
Okay.
so you're right, yeah, right around the same age as me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when we were younger, there was like 60, 70 kids in our class. Like, did you go to Beach Haven School?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you had even less.
I had 10 kids in my
Yeah, you
class.
had 10. Yeah,
Yeah.
so I had like 60 kids in my class. And like, that's a pretty good sizable community for what we had on the island when we were younger. And now it's just like there'd be like five kids in a class, just like the Beach Haven School.
Yeah. I had 80 kids in my school. My mom was my music teacher. Like, it was small town as can be. But then I went to Southern and I had 700 kids in my
Yeah,
class.
that's a huge different transition, big
Yeah.
transition going from 10 kids in your class. But I mean, from what they said, having the Beach Haven School, every kid that was in the Beach Haven School like would graduate in like the top of the class, or there would be like a big percentage of the people in the top of the class that went to the Beach Haven School. So
Yeah.
like kids are learning obviously, and obviously they have good schooling over there, so.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. So, tell me about your shop, dude. I didn't even, like I said, I saw online, I was like, all right, he's a woodworker. It's like he looks like a really chill dude. It's like he's got a really epic beard. People with beards tend to like pull me in because I feel like people with beards are very patient people. Because like if you ever grow out your facial hair, it takes a lot of patience. So
Get past that intermediate
yeah.
zone.
And then I saw the woodwork and I was like, all right, let me have this dude on the podcast. And I was basically just going through your page yesterday and then I saw that you're into woodworking, but that's not your profession. You shape surfboards. So
Yeah.
this is an entirely, different angle that I have to come in on this. I thought we were gonna bullshit about, I mean, I guess we can bullshit about woodworking, but yeah, we're gonna bullshit about you shaping surfboards in your shop that you got going on right now, because this is pretty epic.
Yeah, they bleed into each other for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that it's definitely turned into surfboard shaping as my
Mm-hmm.
full-time job, which I wouldn't have ever said, even as a kid.
You never knew you were going to be a surfboard shaper.
No,
Yeah.
I loved it, but like most people, is just mystifying to
Yeah.
me of, land is home and being in the water and being able to ride waves is a
Yeah.
craft and like a skill in itself that I didn't know. So it was so foreign. I was like, no, there's no way I'm gonna like make a living out of that. But I went to school for environmental science in North Carolina at Wilmington, and it was too close to the beach. It was a little dangerous, You're in a lecture hall and you see everyone has a Surfline cam in front of you and they just
Yeah.
slowly close their laptops and walk out. But no, I wanted to do something that would benefit the environment. And I got late admission and I went to OCC, our local community college here, for a semester. And I wanted to be in like the FBI. I've got a family full of cops.
Yeah.
And I did a few classes in like criminal justice. I was like, whoa, I do not want to do this. It's not the vibe I'm after. And then I got through. I loved college for learning about like what you can do for the planet, all these different things. But a lot of the jobs you have to work for the government. And if you're a park ranger, you're pretty much a cop. You still
Yeah.
carry a gun and write tickets and stuff. So it wasn't this like, Disney pretty picture after all. And I had a shoulder injury that kept coming back, and a couple other crazy things in life that brought me back home. And just, I would be sitting in classes drawing pictures of surfboards. And
Yeah.
like, I started making hand planes at the time, and that was just something that like threw me for a loop where I could make my own board, go out into the ocean. tradition, enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
and then give it to someone else and see them enjoy it, which is even more fun, debatably. And then from there, it was just like, okay, I can't finish school down in North Carolina. I'm coming back. And my parents pretty much gave me an ultimatum, like, you got to finish up here. I'm starting my own business. I'm not going back to it. And I didn't really have this cushion fallback plan.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of my friends that graduated and still didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't want to be stuck with that safety net anymore.
Yeah.
Which is great to have, but at the same time, I found what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I just kind of dove head into it.
Yeah. No, I totally feel you on that. I was actually having a conversation with my mother today. She's like, because she's trying to find, you know, an investment property or somewhere to retire to, and I'm moving to Bend. So she's like, what if I got a house with a big property on it and you could build your warehouse on it and work and stuff like this? I'm like, that all sounds great, but I want to be able to buy my own property and my own warehouse and my own stuff and do my own thing and not have to rely on anybody else. I'm just kind of like separating myself, because I was in my family business for 13 years. So it was like, Everything is, if you ever work in a family business, like everything is all integrated. It's just like, it's a family, but it's a business at the same time.
Yeah.
So
you can't put it down at the end of the day.
Yeah. And so I was super eager to set out and set my own path, and I'll use the line from Jetty, draw my own line.
Yeah, it's so true, though. Yeah. They picked a good one, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, the sense of community that we were just saying, that the LBI community is so unique,
mm-hmm.
where you can't just chip your way in. You kind of have to be in it for one reason or another. But man, you can't find much else like it.
I tried to explain this to somebody about our community. I was like, you can't just come here and start a business. Like, we'll use like a pool service for an example. Like, you're not going to come in and get as many customers as a local is going to. It's going to take you years and years and years to establish, because everybody, it's such a small community, everybody talks to each other, everybody recommends, hey, my pool guy, do this, do that, do that. So it's like, but once you're in, you're in.
Totally.
I've seen a lot of businesses come from like up north and stuff like that and actually establish themselves down here, but it takes a shit ton of marketing and a lot of money to establish yourself down in LBI. And right. Of course, property comes into the factor. It's like,
yeah.
Property here is so much more than it is, you know, in other places, just because we're by the beach. We just walked to the ocean. You live 2.5 blocks from the ocean.
Yeah.
Like, people would kill for that.
yeah. But if my great-great-grandpappy didn't, you know, build the house here,
yeah.
I wouldn't have grown up on this.
Yeah. Side. Yeah.
And I knew that growing up, because I had friends that, mm-hmm. you know, cell phones came out and they had like the brand new thing in middle school. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, they're not the people that would like rub it in your face to say something about the community. It's not the Hamptons. You know,
mm-hmm.
their parents may be just as well off.
Yeah.
It's cool to see that there's a good environment. But I hear you, like, I don't want to sit and coast or like make it off of somebody else.
Yeah.
But at the same time, having a bunch of like-minded people going,
yeah.
okay, this is what I'm at.
Yeah.
If you're along for the way to a degree,
yeah,
like,
you,
let's go.
You set out to shape surfboards. You started that. You created that. So to me, that is like, you know, you said you had a family full of cops and everything. That's you stepping out of that, in the norm, and going into the unknown, in my eyes. And like, and that's like a big thing in nowadays. Like, that's why so many people like follow other people online and follow influencers and stuff like that, because they see them doing stuff that is out of the ordinary and they want to do it so bad, and like, but you know, it just requires taking the chance. So
yeah.
Another reason why I wanted to have you on my podcast, it's like, I didn't even know you were a surfboard shaper until today, but like, I've never really talked to a surfboard shaper. I've never really met somebody that makes a career out of it. Actually, Cookie. You know Cookie?
That sounds familiar.
What's his name? Cook. Kevin Cook. He worked at Surf Shack for years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was a surfboard shaper. But, like, I feel like it's a dying art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. And, like, everything, it's being replaced by a CNC machine as quick as can be.
I see foam boards everywhere. Everybody uses foam boards, like, out in Cali. I mean, there's so many rocks and stuff, so it's understandable.
Well, it's really good marketing, and it makes sense to a degree that if you're going to try something, you're going to rent a set of golf clubs. You're not going to go buy, you know, Titleist high-ends. You're going to get a $100 foamy surfboard rather than, like, a beautiful skiff fry or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But it makes this huge polarization in a market now where everything's pumped out from China and Taiwan.
Oh, that's sad.
Or it's a niche high-end market domestically.
Yeah.
Which isn't talked about either. If you buy, you know, not to throw anybody under the bus, but like Kelly Slater surfboards, Robin Chato surfboards, all these things from Firewire.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't them. If they approached me and said, we'll sell 100,000 of your boards, I'd consider it. But like, again, that's not what I'm after. And
all right, so like a Channel Islands, when I was surfing back in the day, like 17 years old, I was buying a Channel Islands for, I want to say like $580, $585, pushing $600 for like a, you know, a fish or whatever it is.
Right.
How much do they cost today?
Yeah. You know. 800 easy.
Oh, really?
I would imagine.
So it's not that much. It's not that much more.
You could get, you know, again, I don't buy Channel Island boards too, so I'm the wrong person to ask, but you can get them for $1,000 for a Hayden shape board with no stringer in it, which is pitched as a high performance thing, but it's going to snap so quick and so easy.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but there's no sharing of that information.
That the heater?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Hell yeah, nice and warm in here.
Yeah.
Good for you. Dude, I'm stoked for you, man. You got an awesome little spot.
Yeah.
I would literally, this is what I dream of. This spot right here. This is my dream.
Yeah.
This is it. This is all you need.
Talk about manifesting, man. Like, my old shop is down the block from here. So when I didn't go back to college, I grew up working at this bike shop around the corner from my parents' house. Mm-hmm. It's still there. Hurricane Sandy hit. Everyone got messed up. I helped them renovate their space and their orders to an extent.
Yeah.
Gnarly, but they had a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
And this empty room was there, and they're like, hey, if you want woodwork in here.
Hell yeah.
And help us out. And that. So they're like family to me, too. But the entire time I've worked in there, it's a closet. No heat. Like, no ventilation. There's a window that's this big inside. But I'm like, I need a big shop with big roofs. And we're sitting in it right now. And it's literally five buildings down from where it was. So
yeah, this is awesome, dude. You got a little storage up there. You can put storage.
Yeah.
Build racks over there. You can build racks there.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's really incredible. We're going to, you know, and it isn't my shop, too. I think that's why it came to be, truly, because I'm not trying to do it for myself.
Like,
my favorite thing about shaping is to hand someone a board and see their reaction or change in perspective they get from it. And I want to teach people how to shape here.
Yeah.
Or if you make your own boards and you don't have a spot to glass them or vice versa, then we can work something out here. And it's, there's other places, like Asbury Park has the Heavens, and that's a really, you know, they do production style surfboards. John Apito, Rosborne Surfboards does a really good job. And then south of us in Ocean City, Brian Wynn has a big local setup, but LBI is this like weird spot where we don't have that, but we have a ton of surf culture. Everyone talks about the 60s and how it boomed here with like Kossoff's and all these old school shops.
I feel like too many people move away.
Yeah.
For it to like continue and then like it starts to die down a little bit and then somebody brings it back and then it dies down a little bit and then somebody brings it back. And now maybe with the shift after, you know, COVID and everything, everybody moving down here. maybe it'll bring it back a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, guys I talk to have seen 30 to 40% increases in surfboard sales, wetsuit sales, fins, everything, rentals, because people have time. And I think last year, you know, it was the soft year summer where you get your soft top board and try it out, and then this summer everyone's like, all right, you
yeah,
my gear and
going and for it. Savings is up like 20% in the United States since COVID happened. So everybody's got this extra money. Like, my family sells hot tubs, and they're literally like sold out for the next like 2 years, legitimately.
Whoa.
Yeah, like if you buy a hot tub now, you're not going to get it for another year.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and they're still selling them. People are still walking in. It's because people have all this extra money and they want to be home now. They don't want to be out, like, going in public hot tubs and stuff.
Yeah, I get it. Same thing with surfboards, where you can't get blanks now. You can't get fiberglass cloth or resin or fin boxes.
What were those blanks called? They went out of business a few years ago, like 10 or 15 years ago.
Clark foam.
Yeah, Clark foam, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they still around?
No. Yeah, so that was a huge shift in the surf industry. Clark was in Southern California, and he made the first, not first, but the, one of the...
It was like 75% of the blanks came from Clark foam or something like that.
For
in the
surf
US, industry.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the EPA came and slapped him with some fines, and
the conditions were like crazy.
Yeah, he's like, surfboard blanks are the most ironic things in the world, that we go and love nature, but we just make something and ride something that is never going to break down.
Yeah.
And Clark used some gnarly materials. He made great blanks. He was a nice dude, but apparently he just said, F this, closed his doors, locked them, and shut everybody down in like May or something, before a summer boom of surf season, and left everyone scrambling to figure out how to make their own blanks or to start other companies. But it's amazing that we're working with 1950s technology as far as the majority of surfboard blanks still today. They're petroleum based. They're, you know, they have a wooden stringer to give it some rigidness from nose to tail. But, and some people make wooden boards still. I make wooden surfboards still. As decoration, mostly. I ride them, and I have a few friends that ride them, but...
They're just super heavy, and if you, like, you get hit in the face with that thing, like...
Oh, you're done.
Yeah.
Or just the hip. Like, I ride thin Alayas, and they can be light, but you knock your ankle with it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, week later, you're feeling it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to sound like a pussy or anything, but, like, if you do paddle out... And you're by yourself in the ocean, and you're riding a wooden surfboard, and you hit your head, like, you're dead.
Oh, man. I've knocked myself out and woke up in the winter before.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. But I grew up riding vintage longboards without leashes, too. So it was a different upbringing. I didn't have the shortboard revolution until recently. But, yeah, man, it's start getting back to that shop, and then... It's all just come out of good fortune and, like, passing on whatever has come to me directly to somebody else. And I love teaching surfing and how to surf to people. I taught this guy, Chuck, years ago and just gave him a lesson and parted ways. And then 5 years later, he had a couple of shitty lessons and came back one day, and I just met him on the beach.
Yeah.
And... someone sold him a board that snapped like a day later. And, you know, now another 5 years later, he needed a beach house, and we've been buds ever since then.
Yeah.
Bought this place, and now I'm going to be making a surf factory out of it. So it's, you can't, like, could I have afforded a building like this? No, never. But does it work perfectly for... parking my bus in the driveway so it doesn't have to sit on the street? Can I renovate it in here? And It's just serving me while many other people at the same time.
I mean, like, anywhere else, this place would be, like, affordable. But we are on LBI in the heart of Beach Haven.
It's crazy.
This is prime spot, dude.
Yeah.
Your doors open, people walking by in the summer, just shaping boards. It's just a dream, man.
Yeah. I'm stoked that we're here in, like, the guts of it when it's still funky.
So, where do you see this taking you? What do you see this place turning into? Or are you just kind of taking it day by day?
Yeah, it's so surreal because the owner, there was a mechanic in here for 50 years, Kevin, that did not want to sell. It had been for sale for 10 years, and he had full offers and still throwing contingent. He just wasn't ready to give it up. And I get that. And
same with a lot of locals around here.
Totally.
Yeah, especially
lawyers to mechanics. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Chefs, like,
when the rich people start showing up and wanting to buy property, we get like my dad is dealing with that right now with the guy, Hotel LBI.
Yeah.
My dad's right across the street, and my dad's not one to somebody come over and flex money and be like, I'll give you this for that. My dad would be like, no.
Yeah.
It's just this old school mentality that is there and you'll never get rid of it. My dad will sit in his office for the rest of his life just staring that guy down, just like not even like not staring him down, but just like, yep, he'll never give in.
Yeah, totally. Dude, absolutely. And it's like a stubborn pride, but in a way, it kind of keeps a hometown vibe.
That's why I love it here, because you can have as much money as you want. You are not going to fit in. Not everybody's going to like you, and you won't survive the long run if that's because we all need each other.
Yeah, yeah, totally. You see, like, the New York style restaurants and stuff come down and open up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have the money to throw in and change it into a beach style place, but it took like a couple $1 million later to realize, oh, right, this isn't Manhattan.
Yeah,
like,
somebody has been coming down here and going to Buckaloo's for the past 25 years just because you put this fancy restaurant up, cuisine, coastal cuisine and stuff like that. It's like, we're going to bypass you and we're going to go to Buckaloo's.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, the hut. It's like, no, ask a local where he'd rather go. Like, he's going to say the Hudson House.
Yeah. Or I'll send you the hotel. Yeah. He doesn't want to drink with you.
Like, you can go sit at the Oyster House, a beautiful bar at the Oyster House, eating, like, this fancy food, blah, blah, blah. Or you can go to the shitty Hudson House, and we're going to choose it 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. I love it. It's so cool.
Yeah. That was a good example. Because it's such a dive bar.
Yeah. I worked there for a few years.
Oh, nice.
Working the door, bar backing, bartending a little bit. But I've worked in I'm sure you have too, restaurants, bars, like everybody. But this place had such a different feel to it. And they taught me right away. It's like, if something goes wrong and the boss comes up to you and says, hey, what's up with this? It's your fault. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, it's your fault. But if he comes up to me and says the same thing, it's my fault.
Yeah.
And he's like, and we deal with it later. But that way, the boss is never upset. I'm like, well, okay. But it was such a family that nothing ever got to that point, too.
Yeah.
Like, that bar's been there. My parents, like, dated there. Like, it goes way back.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, my parents met at the Marlin. It wasn't the Marlin. It was, I forget what it was called, but then it became the Marlin. But yeah, my dad was bartending, and my mom was waitressing. And they started in Beach Haven. My dad was living above, right where those apartment complexes are in that row right there.
Yeah.
Where Jack's Racks used to be, I think it was.
Yep.
Yeah, my dad was living up there. I think Higgins was living there for a while, Matt Higgins and Frankie Rotaco.
Yeah.
I was going to buy a house in one of those rows. I looked at one. It was like one of those things where I think about what if I did move to Beach Haven when I was in my early 20s rather than where would I be, you know? But I'm glad that I didn't, because I probably would have fell into the Beach Haven scene.
Yeah. There's a few different ones, but man, like if you live here year-round and you don't surf, you probably drink.
Yeah, exactly. And exactly.
There's no wrong in that, but yeah. To keep, like, when summer comes around and you got to get your crap back together, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I always called Beach Haven Cats. I'm like, Beach Haven Cats. That's just what I call them. I separate them from the island because even though I am from the islands, they're just a different breed when it comes to, like, drinking, all that stuff, partying, all that stuff. It's like, it told, oh, my God. I remember being here and I'd be hanging out with, like, all my buddies and then go to the Marlin and Carm would, like, get off work and then I'd go back to Carm's house and we'd be up to like 5-6 in the morning and then I would get a ride back to Ship Bottom and I would go to work an hour later.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, man. And I'd work a full day and then I would repeat the process.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Yeah. I worked at the Catch bar back.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Got off, you know, got people out at 3, got mm-hmm. out by 4 maybe, or yep. you had a drink and you stayed till 5, went to the check, got wings.
And yep,
the
yep.
sun came up and I had surf lessons at like 8 some yep. days, so I would just sit on the beach and wait for kids to show up.
Dude, it's a lifestyle, man.
It's such a grind. But I knew I couldn't do it long term. Like, I just saw these people like bloating or burning out yeah. around me.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I love to surf. Like, I know what makes me happy, and it's eating good and healthy, like sleeping and doing yoga, meditating every day.
Yeah.
And I have my own business. But like, there's this weird dilemma that everyone has where you're like, yeah, I could buy a bus, mm-hmm. I could get a tiny, but I have this house and I have these little fucking things and you don't do it, but it, yeah, that Hudson House job was the last thing. Cause I could see myself bartending yeah. there every year, but I was like, no, I have my own thing that I'm just not 100% diving into right now.
Yeah. I think like the fear of the unknown scares people as well. I was just having a conversation with my one friend and he's doing the craziest thing ever. He's been taking sword lessons, like sword fighting, yeah, like fencing, for like the past couple years, and like he's very talented, like he's going into competitions, and his end goal, he told me, he's like, I'm gonna be on Game of Thrones, or like the sequels to Game of Thrones. He wants to be like a sword fighter or somebody on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And he called it a long shot, and I was like, I don't believe in long shots. I yeah. don't, because You look like he wants to be an actor. You look at actors and you think, wow, they're special. They did something. But no, all they did was try. You're not trying by staying where you are, taking that step. And like, I always said I was going to buy a van, travel, this and that. And like, people look at my lifestyle and think it's awesome. But it's like, the only reason it's awesome is because I sold everything I own. I got rid of everything I own. I got rid of every bill. I got rid of everything pulling me down, every monkey on my back, every closet door I closed.
Right. And yeah.
Literally, yeah.
Up and
hit the reset
like...
button.
Yeah.
And I'm hitting the reset button again in my life, but it's less like I saw it. I had this vision and I took the chance. I took the step and I made it to where I am. And that's really all it takes. Like, you manifested this. You created this in your mind.
Yeah. Like, literally, this was stacked with cars and crap. But, like, people call it, like, an engineer mind, where you can look at something and be like, whoa. But someone else sees it and, like, that place is fucking
disgusting. Looks like a shithole.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
But you see it, and you know what the grease and the work does to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, to that point, I heard something the other day, like, you could have two teams of people, one of them's trying to make this perfect thing, and the other ones are just trying to make something.
Mm-hmm.
And the people trying to make something are going to make something perfect inherently by making so many things that one of them's bound to fucking work.
Yeah.
And the other guy's just going to get so frustrated trying to be perfect, they're just going to slam his head through the wall
yeah.
and make, like, two things that kind of work, maybe, or just gave up
yeah.
like, altogether. But if you don't go, like, and actually do it, then yeah, why talk
yeah.
you know
yeah
a lot of people tell me I'm like a quiet person, like, I'll talk to you all day, but like I got stuff to do that I want to do, and if you want to do it too, cool, let's go.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, it's interesting, man. Like you do see people that drift out of here, and that does change the community.
Mm-hmm.
Because we live in a vibrant community where it's booming with hundreds of thousands of people in the summertime.
And with a limited supply of liquor licenses.
Yeah. Can I build a building big enough to team getting another one? You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But we love it all the same, for sure.
Yeah, I was happy to come back. I felt the joy crossing over Beach Haven Terrace into Beach Haven, then seeing all the new buildings and everything. So weird, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I talked to old time guys that grew up here in the 60s, and they said there was forests at the end of the island.
Yeah.
Where the wooden jetty is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's foxes running everywhere. And
there's deer.
Deer on the island.
Mm-hmm.
Nuts. And we don't really have that anymore. And yeah. Flooding's a huge issue now, but we keep building houses, you know, put grass back into the yards.
Yeah.
There's little sustainable things that, you know, because I went to school for environmental science, I'm more aware of that, but like,
yeah,
I'm a big part in the community garden here, and we've gone from like 30 boxes to 70 garden boxes.
Oh, nice, dude.
Within like 5 or 6 years.
Right on, dude.
I try and build them everywhere on the island.
Yeah.
So, because I love woodworking still.
Yeah.
It pays some bills, but it's like fun projects that I don't have to tape off a pin line that's perfectly spot on. I can go slam some screws together and shovel for a day.
Damn, dude.
It feels good.
So what pushes you through every day? What do you strive for? You said you love the feeling when you make a surfboard and hand it to somebody. Like, where does all this come from? Where's your stoke come from? Where's your hype come from?
Yeah.
Just loving the environment, loving the world, wanting to make a difference.
Yeah, I definitely see that the surf industry needs to change.
Okay, yeah.
And if I can be a catalyst in that in some way,
yeah. Okay.
I want to do that.
That's kind of what I was leaning towards, yeah.
And
yeah.
But like, it took personal dedication to even realize that. I, you know, for years I surfed nonstop and thought it was the most selfish thing, and it is, because I'm doing nothing but riding waves for myself.
Yep.
And you can surf 9 hours a day and be a jerk, but you
there's
can
no
surf 9 hours a day and be the best dad in the world.
Yeah, there's too. No real fulfillment in that.
Right. And when I was younger, someone told me, they're like, I have half-hour sessions, and I go in, and I'm happy when I have three-hour sessions. And the ego in me was just like, I'm never going to freaking do that.
Uh-huh.
But having a partner, having someone that I'm like, okay, I want to spend time with her and make smoothies and juices and meditate in the morning.
It's
like, well, yeah, we're going to go surf together, but like that get up and throw my suit on and drink coffee and run out the door and get something from Sevo's. It's like, wait, I'm making all these weird choices so I can go surf, but I want to surf with my girlfriend, or I want to surf with my buddies, and like I gotta wait an hour. So there's these weird things where you're like, okay,
a balance.
Yeah, I can find that middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
But I surfed every day for like 400 and some days in a row a few years ago in New Jersey. If that was California, I'd be like, oh, cool, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But there are many days where there is no waves out, like today, and there's 40 mile an hour like offshore winds.
And you still paddle out.
For nothing.
Yeah.
It's
dedication.
Yeah, but you get that stoke, and I don't need to surf for 3 hours to get that anymore. That really taught me it.
See, that's what I'm talking about, man.
just
for the hell of it.
Yeah. But then when it was huge, that was when we had that Namibia swell, when everyone flooded from the west coast and everything. And I was sick as hell during that swell, but I went to Wooden Jetty and it was double overhead. And I ride longboards, I don't wear a leash, I never have. And like, I was in such good shape that I made it out clean,
had
an insane tube ride, and went home and like threw my lungs up. But like, if you have that momentum, it's easy to wake up and keep doing this shit. Like, but if you don't, then yeah, it seems so impossible. You just gotta start, you know, write it down, or like, don't write it down, just put your shoes on and go do it or whatever.
Yeah, I used to train mixed martial arts for a while, and I had this trainer, and he would tell me about, like, because I would always be asking about, like, the badass dudes that are known and this and that, and he would tell me, he's like, dude, he's like, these people that are the best in the world, he's like, you don't know who they are, you'll never hear about them, blah, blah, blah. He's like, the guy that he learned from, he's like, it would take me, you know, this long to drive out to his house in the middle of the mountains, or near nobody, no electricity, no nothing. He's got like a farmhouse, this and that. And he's like, he would have me just like pick up this sack, throw it on my shoulder, and then put it down. And he would just go in the house, and he would come back like 3 hours later and like make sure he's still doing it. It was like crazy, insane training. But he's like, he's the most disciplined. Like, he, every single day, like, no matter what, rain or shine, like, he's doing his martial arts, he's doing his, like, and he's in my eyes, he's the best in the world. And, like, you never see him, you never hear about him, you never nothing. Like, it's so cool. And then, like, to hear, like, you're shaping boards and, like, you're just paddling out every single day to keep that going, to keep that for no reason. It's just, like, it's a, dude, it's a passion, it's a drive, man. It's, like, that's like the stoke, like inner stoke, that's like where that comes from, like, because you got to dig deep for that. And like, some people, they don't start digging deep until like after a divorce or after, you know, something terrible happens to it. But it's like, from what I can see, like, you're a young man, you're establishing yourself here. Nothing, I mean, I'm sure you've lost people in your life, I'm sure things have happened, you know, they're terrible, but like, you're still waking up every day, and like, you're still pushing yourself forward. It's like, so that's why I was asking, like, where does it come from? Where do you get it from? Like, because it's not taught. Yeah. It's something that you have to teach yourself. You can have a teacher standing in front of you telling you what to do for the rest of your life, but like, the only reason you have this is because of you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I was self-taught for a lot of different reasons. Growing up here and having 10 kids in my class.
Mm-hmm.
Like, having two older brothers, so when the third one came around, not in a bad way or anything, was like, you're good, right? Okay, like, let's keep family moving. So, like, you know, nothing against my parents. I taught myself to ride a bike because they're busy and I didn't learn it yet. And just little things where I was like, well, if I want to do this, I have to do it. And that hit me early. And there are a few bottoms for sure that I was like, oh, crap. Like, here I am, you know. Mm-hmm. Whether it's relationships or, like, choices you make with what you want to do with your life or even that year or that day, it's like,
I feel like those are the most important lessons in life, is when you do reach those rock bottom or like breaking point and stuff like that. And like, it takes a while to get over certain things. Like Sandy was like a big thing around here for people because everybody lost their home. I couldn't go home for, I think it was like 9 months or something like that. How'd you make out?
It was crazy. My great-grandfather decided to build a basement in our house because who knows why. So, that flooded with water with every family heirloom we've had. But again, it just, like, my biggest thing I've learned within the past few years is forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, was this spiteful towards me? No.
Mm-hmm,
like,
exactly.
Do I need this stuff? No.
Exactly. And I felt a lot of that during the recent, like, snowstorm in Texas, and how they like lost power and like people's houses were flooding and stuff like that. And like, I was starting to have like flashbacks from Sandy, and like, it's just like, it seems like the end of the world when it's happening. It seems like the worst thing ever, but like, people do overcome it and they do push past it, and like,
they almost thrive through it.
Yeah.
It's like pruning a tree back to an extent.
I feel like I come back after things. Like, I just hit rock bottom again this last year. I said I was never going to hit rock bottom again. Hit rock bottom again. Now I came back even stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you can avoid it either unless having a constant state of awareness and, like, self-reflection.
Yeah.
Of what am I doing right now? Mm-hmm. How is that affecting me and the people I care about around me?
Yeah, I feel like everybody's just one big program, like you're programmed. And when you start, like, being mindful of that and seeing different patterns and stuff, you can take a step back, reset, reprogram yourself.
Yeah.
Like, what you want, what mindset you want, where you want to go. And, like, I was very hot-headed for most of my life. I was crazy most of my life. And I remember a few years ago, it was probably like 5 years ago, this was like right before my shift. I had like this like awakening in the world. And I was on this job. I don't know even know why I'm talking about this, but I was on this job and there was this kid that was working with us and he wasn't lifting the hot tub. And it just like struck a nerve. Cause like when you don't lift, dude, it hurts the other people.
Right.
And I was like, bro, if you're not going to lift, I was like, you can go sit in the truck. And I said it in front of other workers and embarrassed him, which I shouldn't have done.
Right.
And then I reacted off that. And I remember looking at this one worker who was looking at me, and he was a very mellow person. And I remember thinking to myself, like, he did not grow up like me.
Yeah.
He was never taught that type of behavior, everything that's going on. I'm like, okay. And that was like the beginning of my journey of like resetting myself, resetting my body, resetting my mind, and like how I see the world, how I perceive the world, how I react to certain situations. And it was just like, and I see you and I see how mellow you are, how calm you are. You're very soft-spoken. Everything is very well thought out. It looks like everything, like every curve, every in your surfboard, everything was methodical, it looks like. So I was super interested to have you on and really like dissect your mindset and, you know, learn things from you. So, and of course for other people to learn as well. So,
yeah man,
yeah,
I always think like rock bottom is an encouraging place to bounce back mm-hmm. from, for sure, and to take those experiences and just learn from that. That isn't the end either.
No, everything seriously happens for you, not to you.
Yeah.
Every bad thing. Yeah.
To think that, well, like, you know, nothing's ever easy, or everything comes to me. Yeah.
Dude,
know?
Like, another random subject, but my mother had three spinal strokes a few years ago. She had to learn how to rewalk again, all this stuff.
Whoa.
And she just had this crazy surgery that pretty much changed her life. And in the midst of that, she ended her marriage with her husband after 15 years. And it was like this devastating thing to her. And she absolutely hit rock bottom. And now it's been like almost 2 years. She's so focused on herself, on her health. She's doing like these detoxing. She's doing all this stuff. She's going to the chiropractor for this. She's like really focused on herself, and that's what she's saying. She's going, you know what, I'm just going to focus on my health, making myself better, blah blah blah, getting up and down every day, you know, walking up the steps, this and that. And I'm like, I hate to say it, but like your divorce and everything, it happened for you. It was whatever you want to call it, the world's way of shifting you into the lane that you're supposed to be in, or the direction you're supposed to go. So it's like,
I think we have, like, these thousands of options that are always before
us.
Like, we didn't have to meet up, you know. I never had to say, yeah, let's meet up.
Yeah.
You know, but
where would we be if we didn't?
Right.
What would we be doing? Yeah.
There would be an opportunity that would throw itself in your face, whether you're there to look at it or not. But until I started, like, realizing you have to train your own mind.
Yeah.
That no one ever taught me, you have to train your own mind.
And isn't it crazy that we're not taught that?
Yeah, but how many years of conditioning in school, they condition you to move at a bell, to move
like,
to this room at a certain time.
Yeah, imagine a kid like having a hissy fit, and instead of punishing him and throw him in the corner, like bring him over to this room where it's quieter and just like sit down and just like talk with them, maybe do a breathing exercise or something like that, and I guarantee you, you'll have such a different outcome rather than like spiting this kid and making him pissed off.
You know? Whacking him on the butt, giving him detention.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my dad was a principal, and he didn't have a dad, and he had six siblings, and raised like three of them with his twin sister. And there's so many, like, in my childhood, I had so many angry moments of just not understanding a perspective that I couldn't grasp.
Yeah.
But then, you know, years later, when you can talk to someone at a different level and just be like, oh, you didn't know what you were doing. Mm-hmm. You did your best, but, like, everyone respects you as this father figure in the community. He ran Pineland School for, like, 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in the middle school. But, like, it's incredible to hold these different grievances until you can look at your own mind and be like, well, I did this because I didn't know any different, and now I do, and I can either, you don't even have to confront it with anybody else, just be like, that's it.
I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah, I'm aware of it now, but it takes a lot, and it's not easy to look at your own stuff from a hands-off thing and go like, well, I screwed that girl over.
Dude,
you know, or
that was my... Because I moved across the country. I sold everything. And, dude, the same exact situations, these same exact things start happening again. And it was like this really surreal moment. I remember I was in the desert. I had to walk around my van to my mirror, pull my mirror out, like my side mirrors, because I didn't have a mirror in my van. Look at myself in the fucking mirror. Like, really do this. Like, I was like, I'm doing this. I look myself dead in the eye and I go, it's you, it's not them. And it was like, it was like a really surreal moment. Lots of tears, all that shit. And it's just like, I had to face it. And like, people are so afraid to face themselves, to admit when they're wrong, to all, and it's, it ruins people's lives.
Well, you're not taught that, especially men, too. You can either, A, talk to someone about it that's your friend. Like, therapy, if it works for some people, great. But if I'm going to go and talk to someone about my fucked up stuff in my past, that doesn't seem like I'm healing anything. I'm just acknowledging it's there, and I'm not moving forward.
Yeah.
And, like, why that's still an issue to me. Because I'm just going to perpetuate it with my next relationship or friendship of my own values or whatever. But, you know, I meditate every day. Like, I started doing things that, just like your mom's, like, well, what's good for me? Like, I love doing things for other people, but I'm the last person to do something for myself. And I'm aware of that now. So, like, yeah, I have a ton of surfboard orders, but I threw an 11-footer in for me. Because I want, you know, that's why I do it. And then someone will probably order an 11-foot board after seeing that.
Yeah.
That's not my goal with it right now. It's just to keep my own stoke a little bit alive and, like, while maintaining the balance of, you know, I love what I do, but it's also a business, too. And I love to do that for other people. But I also love to, like, just not do shit some days, too.
You got to take care of yourself, dude. I'm kind of going through a similar situation with people wanting to bring their vans to me or wanting me to do a build-out for them, but I'm like, I'm sending it to Bend, Oregon after this build. I'm like, I'm sorry. They're like, well, maybe I could ship it out to you. I'm like, do it. I'm like, but I'm going. Like, I can't stay here just to make money. You know, I gotta be out there. That's where I wanna be. I dream about the blue water and the green forests and the dirt.
Dude, I hear you. I didn't spend a lot of time there, but going to Northern Cali, real Northern Cali, and Oregon.
Did you go to Shasta?
No, I had the opportunity to, but I was just in Hawaii for 2 weeks, and I needed to chill for a minute.
Yeah.
But I'm once the bus is done.
We didn't even talk about the bus. Let's recap on that. So you bought a shuttle bus.
Yeah. Talk about manifesting that too. On this same trip in Northern Cali and stuff, my girlfriend and I are driving back across the country, and that's a story in itself. This day that I drove a lot of the trip. I had like some driving anxiety where I'd prefer to drive and not be a passenger.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend didn't really mind. That's how I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing against whoever's driving. It's just my own mental shit.
I can't. Talking about. I can't.
Yeah. I'm not going to sleep.
No. No.
And the one day where I had driven for like 5 days straight, and she's like, all right, I'm good. Sleep. And I'm like, I'm toast.
Yeah.
Go ahead, drive. I left my wallet at this place, and she drove 3 hours. And we hit a gas station. I had both of our cards, all this stuff.
Oh, man.
And I woke up in the gas station going like, oh, fuck. And we had to drive all the way back through these mountain ranges in Utah, all the way back. But because of that, the next day, we're like just trying to find somewhere to eat.
Yeah.
And we're in this old diner, sitting there like, what are we doing? Like, we just burned a day, whatever, whatever. And this huge green bus rolls up front. And they did, I had no idea what it was at the time, but they did a roof raise on a full-size school bus.
Yeah.
And this girl with blue hair comes in, and this dude who's just like, you know, sitting, cruising. And I was jaw-dry, I just walked up to him like, what are you doing? Who are you?
Yeah.
And we'd been living out of a tent for a month at that point in Hawaii and Cali and all these places. And he's like, oh, I built this out for the past year. And I'm going to Capitol Reef National Park, and we're going to live there for, like, a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful land management land. You can park there however long you want. He's like, in that? And he's like, yeah. He's like, well, what do you have space in there? He's like, I got 3 sewing machines. He's like, why? I got many more questions now, man. Like, but it just clicked, and we still had 2 weeks of driving to do. So the entire time, my girlfriend and I were just like, this is it. I don't want a mortgage. I love where we live, but I love to travel.
Yeah.
I love to surf. And we were going to get a full-size bus. And the more we researched, it was like, oh, shit, this is a thing. A lot of people are doing this already. And they have been since the 60s when people are just like, screw society.
Yeah.
And drove across the country.
Yeah. That's, van life has always been around. But recently, I would say the big shift was last year. Right when I came into it, that's when it was really taking off. It had been around for about 2 years then on social media and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, years before that, but really taking off. But last summer, and then compared to this summer, dude, oh my God. I can't tell you. You see the waves of people on social media come in, and they all meet up with each other, and they all hang out with each other. It's like crazy. It's like that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It is, man.
Yeah.
But it's a necessity now, and whether people are willing to take the jump to not live in a home or pay for it, then they'll do that.
Dude. Oh, man. Is my microphone working? I hope it was working. Yeah, I think we're good. I was like, did I pull that plug? I may have pulled the microphone plug off.
We'll recap if we have to.
Yeah. But, yeah, so what's the plan with the bus? What's going on?
So, yeah, we got back from this trip and sat on it. And we looked at buses. Just living where we are, we realized we can't have a full-size bus.
Yeah.
We can't park it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
If we were in Utah, yeah, it'd be sweet, but it doesn't make sense for living in a coastal area.
And a shuttle bus is a little bit smarter. Everybody that I know that owns a bus, it's like, it's this whole process. You have to figure out where you're going before you're going, because you stick out like a sore thumb. Like, you can't just park out on the street. Like, I was living on the streets of San Diego for 3 months. You can't do that in a shuttle bus.
Right.
You ruin it for everybody else.
Yeah, right. And ours is like, I can fit in a parking spot that's a little oversized out the back.
Mm-hmm.
Width-wise, we're good. But it does, you know, it's not a school bus, but it's not a van.
Yeah.
So we want to have some type of middle ground where you can travel, boondock for a while.
Yeah.
So we're going to do, with COVID and everything happening, like, we took the money we had and we're like, why don't we invest in this stuff? Because who knows if it's going to be available to even buy afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but we got this bus on GovDeals, sight unseen, from Connecticut, yeah. and bid on it. And everyone we talked to is just like, you're buying a vehicle without even hearing it run. What are you thinking?
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's uncle is a bus mechanic yeah. at J Transit, and he's like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But my gut, I had this crazy vivid dream where, like, the world was fucking ending
yeah.
like, in a good way. It was really weird, but we had our bus, and it was just like, let's get on the bus and go. It doesn't matter. And I woke up, and we saw this the next day, and I was like, that's the bus. It was online.
Yeah.
And we bought it. Ends up, it was garage kept. Yep. They had to get rid of it because they had bought a new one, and they couldn't have three, and it drove old people to the doctor's office.
Yep.
And, like, the lights were never plugged into the fuse because it never drove at night.
Yeah.
The thing is brand new. But you can't even buy this now if you yeah. wanted to because of how crazy van life and everything is. That,
yeah.
You know, that isn't why we did it, but the value's just skyrocketed with everything. So we have all of our solar panels, batteries, got our shower and all that set up. So we can build out around it, which mm-hmm. is really cool. And, you know, I like to be useful of the flow of things.
Yeah.
And we surf, and we're going to surf travel out of it.
Oh, nice.
We just want to figure out a way that we can go to Maine, have the wood-burning stove cook in, hop
So you'll have a wood-burning stove on that?
Yeah.
Oh, epic,
dude. We got a
dude.
Cubic Mini already.
Yeah.
Dude. So.
Can you talk?
Yeah.
I don't think it's picking up on my mic, dude.
No?
No, and I'm really worried about this episode. So, I think it might be picking up on the mic, or it's just picking up on my laptop right now. So, we're just going to keep it right there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's picking up good now.
Okay, sweet.
You don't have to talk into it like that.
Yeah.
Hello, check, 1, 2. We're just having a few minor difficulties. Cool. Got the message about my home in Bend. I'm excited about that.
Nice, man.
So, what's, like, your target goal for getting on the road and getting out?
Having this space is crazy because it's not winter here anymore, yeah. but at the same time it's not fun to be working on stuff outside on the bus right yeah. now. So I'm finishing up these 4 or 5 boards I have and then gonna get cranking on this thing.
Pull it in here?
Yeah, pull it in. I have the heat. I can really go to town before we start outfitting this building.
Yeah.
But because I have everything, I have a buddy who's a welder, mechanic, plumber, all just ready
yeah.
for me pretty much, that we can grind before yeah. summertime. And if I can get it to the point where the shower and toilet and bed are done and I get the fans
yeah.
and maybe solar set up,
uh-huh.
then we'll be living in it this
You're
summer.
Doing full shower?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a Nebbia shower. Those
cool.
things are crazy.
Hell yeah.
It's like I took my time with it. We've had it for a year now, mm-hmm. but I know exactly what I want it to be as
yeah.
well. I don't have to, you know, not that there's anything wrong with do it, rip it out, and do it again,
yeah.
but, you know.
Yeah, I just wanted to get out of here as fast as possible, and I'm like, I'll be fine without a toilet. I'll be fine without a shower. I'll just shower off. Because, like, in a summer day when I come back from like work or something like that, like I can legitimately just take the hose and stand out back and just like be fine with it. So I was like, yeah, it'll be fine. But you're in so many different situations and you're in so many different places where it's not fine.
Yeah.
And then once COVID hit and my gym membership, I couldn't take showers anymore. Like some Planet Fitness says you can't shower at right now. Anytime Fitness says you can't shower at. Like, I drove 2 hours to this one Anytime Fitness. I haven't showered in a month, bro. A month. I have not had warm water over my body. I've just been going in streams and rivers and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this shower. I walk in. I'm so excited. I go to turn it on. And there's a sign hanging right there that says, no showers due to COVID, blah, 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 governor, this and that. And I was just like, I don't give a fuck. Fuck. Dude, the dirt that was coming off of me, when I, like, the bottom of the shower and how the shower looked afterwards, I was just like, I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't care. You can take my membership. You can find me. I don't give a shit.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about that fresh shower feeling.
Yeah.
Cannot be rivaled.
So you'll have a kitchen, shower, well, like a fixed bed in the back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had thought about doing, because it's so wide, shuttle buses have straight sides. They don't have the dome top like buses do.
Yeah.
So we thought about doing like a living area converted into a bed, but I get up in the morning and I want to do my shit, and my girlfriend loves to sleep in.
Yeah.
So
you want to have a fixed bed. It just makes life easier. Or if it's the beds in the back, like a dinette set, you can come forward and then break it down later.
Right.
But yeah, you want to have two separate sections, especially with two people.
Totally. And I think because I made like a paper model and a 3D model, I haven't seen many people do it, but we're going to put the bed in the front, and we have a handicap door in the back I'm going to build the step onto.
Cool.
And then you can just walk in to the kitchen, mm-hmm. or the shower's right there, but to have the bed up front, do like, you know, we have a couple of big windows in the front with the doors up there too, so you can do storage or mm-hmm. plants and herbs and stuff. But it makes more sense, and my gut's like, well, no one builds buses like this, so we got to do it the other way.
The other way.
Like, well, fuck that. Like, why have that's, I ever done that?
That's, you know, how I did it with my Murphy bed. When I first built out my van, I was like, nobody really has Murphy beds. I was like, this would be so cool. People would be so stoked, blah, blah, blah. But it just became annoying in the end, in the long run.
Right. It's like, did this serve me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so when you think you're gonna hit the road?
Man, honestly, we want it to surf travel, but to not have a mortgage.
Like, yeah.
So yeah. I have 3-4 different properties that I can park it on.
Yeah.
And live. And if I can hit Maine in the fall, like I love to do,
yeah,
then I'm gonna do that.
Yeah.
But if not, I'll take my truck and, but it'll be ready to go by then for sure.
So at least by the
for
fall.
Some, yeah.
Cool.
Like I have to build this place out. I have a few other projects, but having your home base set up is definitely my main goal right now. So I'm gonna be grinding on the bus the next month or two.
Hell yeah. You gonna post it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cosmic Ambassadors. Right. Find us on YouTube.
What is it?
The Cosmic Ambassadors.
Cosmic
Ambassadors.
Ambassadors?
Yeah, like an ambassador, but it's an ambassador.
Cosmic and Bussador.
AM, like an ambassador.
That's your Instagram handle?
For our bus, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your, tell the people your where they can find you.
Yeah. On Instagram, it's Seafaring Woodcrafts. The shop we're keeping low key until it's open until this summer, but you'll find us out on there. And yeah, I really don't advertise for my surfboards or surf lessons or anything I make. So if you want something made by me, you got to come find me, type of thing.
Yeah.
I love doing business that way. I love dealing with people direct, one on one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm on Instagram quite a bit with certain things and trying to get, you know, with this space, we would love to do podcasts just to have
like
a surf factory, wood-burning stove inside here and just come shoot the shit, play some music and hang out for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, dude.
So,
dude, I'm stoked for you, man. This is awesome. This is like a beginning. You've got an empty shuttle bus over there and you've got an empty garage sitting over here just ready for magic to happen. So I'm glad I caught you in the beginning of it. And, like, next time I come down, it'll probably be a long time. But it would be cool if it's, like, 2 years from now and I just roll up and it's, like, completely different. We could do another podcast. That'd be sick.
Yeah, dude. I love that.
Dude, I'm stoked for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Yeah. I appreciate it a lot.
So, yeah, you can find him at Seafaring Woodcrafts. And what was your... It was the Bussador.
Yeah, we might change it just out of the roll of tongue. Of
Cosmic course. And Bussador.
Yeah. My buddy from Hawaii, I was like, where are you from, Manny? He's like, well, L.A., New York, Honolulu. I consider myself a cosmic ambassador. And I was like, fuck yeah. So we stole Manny's idea.
Awesome, but, dude.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Shane. It's sick meeting you.
Yeah, dude.
A little bit.
Thanks for coming on, dude. I appreciate it.
Definitely.
All right, bro.
Yeah.
All right, I'll see you guys in the next one.